I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let me get to Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, I want an opinion out of you, okay? You ready?
I'm ready.
If you were the Cleveland Browns and you could trade Baker Mayfield for Matt Stafford right now, would you do that?
You know, I'm going to say no. No, I would not do that because I'm going to go back to Baker's rookie year and see what he did in those final eight games of the season and believe that with this new coaching staff, he can get back to doing those sorts of things. Therefore, I think his upside potential is better, and I would not do that right now.
I love hearing that, Mary Kay. It brings me joy to my heart. It's been very rocky, though, today because Lima brought it up. Many people go, yeah, you know, I'm not. And I think it's honestly a trust factor with the fans. That he's lost a lot of trust with the fans. You know, going into this last season, it was we're going to set sail and we're going to be great for a long time, and people gave their love and affection for this football team again to a quarterback, and that went away. And I could look at a lot of that and say, you know, but that's on the former head coach's fault. But I think there is a little bit of a fear going, okay, what if he goes out there week one and he's garbage? I think that's a scary thing for a lot of fans.
Well, you know, this new regime, they believe in him, and they don't see garbage. They don't believe that's going to happen. And even just when you look at the play-action stats of Baker Mayfield, they're so much better than when he was not in play-action. And I think this is where some of the analytics will come in and some good coaching will come in. They're going to rely heavily on Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and they're going to get Baker back to where he needs to be. I believe the defense will be better. That will help. He needs to be supplied with some takeaways. I think you'll see more of that this year. I think they will aggressively add some defenders to this football team. Miles Garrett's back. So I just think there are a lot of reasons to think he's going to be better.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. We always hear when the Browns, like you'll hear after the fact, oh, we had to sit down with Odell or we had to talk with Kareem Hunt. Do you think the Browns feel like Baker, especially after he admitted last offseason he thought everything was going to be easy and how that whole thing went, do you think the Browns are going to have that very serious discussions with Baker about where he is, his role in the organization, and how last year was such a setback?
Oh, I'm sure that Kevin Stefanski has already sat down with Baker Mayfield. They've had these kinds of conversations already, and Kevin Stefanski has made it clear that he will set forth the expectations for each and every player, whether that be, from a physical standpoint, from what he expects from an off-season training, what he wants them to show up like when they get back here. Everything is going to be very, very spelled out and very detailed from all the people that I've talked to that know Kevin Stefanski and the mentors that he's had. So I think Baker will know exactly what what's expected of him, and I think he's kind of craving the structure that he lacked last year. The discipline, the structure, the leadership from a coaching standpoint that just was not there last year.
Yeah, Mary Kay, we were just talking yesterday about our expectations for Miles Garrett and whether or not they would end the punishment and let him come back to football. And yesterday, obviously, the news came down that he was reinstated. I don't think that was a huge surprise. Do you think we're going to see a different Miles Garrett next year? Do you think his temperament is going to be any different? I know the NFL wants you to learn your lesson, but it's not like Miles had this big track record of doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to see a much different Miles Garrett because he is who he is. He's always known exactly who he is as a person. He had a very, very strong upbringing, and he's a strong-minded young man. So I don't think this is going to break him, crack him, or anything like that. What I do think is that he may, or what I hope, is that he focuses less on individual accolades such as NFL Defensive Player of the Year and sack title and all those things, and just goes out there every single down trying to be the absolute best player that he can possibly be. And I think if he just does that, everything will take care of itself.
Do you think that was an issue kind of plaguing him? I mean, obviously he was off to a great start. The sack total was tremendous at the point in time when he actually ended up getting suspended for the rest of the year. Do you think that was some sort of an issue behind the scenes?
I do think it was a little bit of an issue. I think even in that Steelers game, I think he was just so frustrated that he couldn't get a sack. You know, it just seemed no matter what he did, and he's double-teamed so often that it's very, very difficult for him to add to his sack totals, and I think he really wanted that. He was fourth in the NFL at that time with 10 sacks heading into the next game, and, you know, he was gunning for that and NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and I think that may have gotten into his head a little bit, and I'd like to see him just kind of remove that from the equation and just get back to being a really great dominant defensive end.
That's interesting because I did make the argument before because I was a little upset myself. I said, well, Myles Garrett leads the league in sacks at that moment, and the Browns were, what, 3-6 going in? I said if they were 6-3, he'd be in that mix. He'd be in that mix for Defensive Player of the Year, and he wasn't.
Yeah, and, you know, just the whole way that it turned out was obviously unfortunate for everyone involved, but you know, I think as he moves forward, there were a couple things at play with him. So many people kept saying, even before he was drafted, that he didn't have that dog in him and that, you know, that just he needed to be nastier. And, you know, we heard that so often, and I think that kind of got to him, too. I don't think that he necessarily needs to be, you know, nastier or play with any sort of a you know, dirty edge. Not that he did, but he was starting to get a little bit of a reputation because of some of the penalties and some of the fines. And I think he needs to just shed all of that, leave all of that behind, and just work really hard on his technique. You know, these guys are going to coach him up really well. Now he can get back, you know, down to football, and he doesn't have this on his mind anymore, and, you know, just become what they want him to be.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Does this, not Myles Garrett even, like OBJ, the whole thing. Lima's voiced his concern a couple times, and I have to admit, so have I. I've been focused on talent. John Dorsey was certainly focused on talent acquisition. How much does character matter when it comes to Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry now?
Well, I think it will matter a lot. And as Kevin Stefanski said, you know, personality welcome, but production is required. And I think, you know, they will say they want players to be themselves and, you know, show their personality and that sort of thing. But I do think there's a little bit of a leadership void on this football team. I think that some of those guys that you're talking about need to step up as more, not only vocal leaders, but setting example leaders in a better way. All of those guys do. Myles can probably be a little bit more vocal on the defensive side of the ball. Sometimes he has a tendency to do his own thing and kind of hang by himself a little bit here and there. I think he can step up in the aftermath of this, and I think that's one way he can get back in the great graces of the team and the fans and just be a little bit more of that vocal leader. As far as Baker is concerned, you know, he needs to go in the other direction a little bit and, like you said, not put his foot in his mouth as much as he did last year, whether or not that was a shot at Rex Ryan or not. I think that it's actually on point and that he needs to be more of a positive leader instead of letting some of those things become a distraction. And Odell, whether or not he can practice full go in OTAs, you know, he just needs to show up and be there.
Got three names to mention for you. Here we go. Will Christian Kirksey be here in 2020?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. You know what? Right now I'm going to say yes. I ran into Christian at the Super Bowl. I haven't even gotten a chance to write that yet, but I know he would really like to be back, and I'm sure that this regime will at least give him another look.
Will Olivier Vernon be back in 2020?
You know, if he's back, he's going to have to take a significant pay cut. There's no way they're paying him $15 million next year. That was a salary that really should have been renegotiated last year because he also made that last season. So he's not making that next year with the Cleveland Browns. So he will either be gone or he will have to take a pay cut.
All right, what about Joe Schobert?
Well, Joe wants to get paid. Joe stands to hit the jackpot. At least now he would have been gone if the previous regime were still here. They were prepared to let him walk, and he was ready to go. Now, he wasn't ready to go. He doesn't want to leave. But he and his camp were ready to let him go out there and get the money that he feels he deserves. Wants to be the highest paid linebacker on the team. At least now he's with the regime that drafted him, and therefore he's got a chance of sticking around.
So what do you think happens with Olivier Vernon, though? Let me go backwards for a second. Is there a chance he might take less money, or is he just going to take off?
Well, it depends. You know, it comes if somebody's going to offer him, if he can get more money elsewhere, then I'm sure he will probably do that. So it will probably come down to that bottom line. But I just don't see the Browns, especially with the analytics team helping to drive the salary cap and making sure that they're protecting the cap and preparing for the big paydays they have coming up with Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield and some of these guys. They're not going to be able to afford to waste money. So it's just going to come down to what he and his agent are willing to do and what the Browns decide.
As of February 13th, do you believe that the Browns will stay at the number 10 slot or trade down from number 10, or even trade up right now?
You know, right now I'm going to say that they'll stay where they're at and probably select a left tackle. So right now, if I, you know, were on the clock, I would say that's what I think would happen.
What's the worst gift you ever got for Valentine's Day?
I don't think there is such a thing as a bad gift you can get on Valentine's Day, is there?
Divorce papers.
That could be a good gift for some.
No, I've never gotten a bad gift for Valentine's Day. I must say, my husband is really great at gift giving. He's better at it than I am. And really? Those kinds of things are really important to him.
Yeah, but you're busy. You're chasing stories all the time. I mean, how are you going to have all that time to really go all out when you could be at like a Starbucks and all of a sudden, I got to write this story about a reinstatement? Like, you never know with the Browns.
That's so very true. I haven't always been able to be exactly the, you know, the best wife and mom that I could want to be at certain times. You know, that just seems like Johnny Manziel was always going off and floating on a swan, or something was always happening at the wrong time. But
the swan.
But yeah, I've never gotten a bad Valentine's gift. I'm sorry to say.
Wow. What if you got no Valentine's Day gift?
You know, I'm okay with that too, because I'm not as traditional in that way as maybe most people are. So although my husband would never forget, God bless him, if he did, it would not matter to me, because I don't know. I'm not big on the protocol of things like that.
All right. Mary Kay, we love it. Thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the very best to you and yours.
Sounds good. Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Same to you. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yes.
I know. We'll get to that. The Vernon comments there are very strong.
Yes.
But she mentioned the swan thing. And we have had a lot of crazy Brown stories over the years. Manziel was a part of many of them.
I would say he's probably three of the top five.
Wow.
Except for, like, if it comes to, it's a totally separate category with the Browns moving.
Vegas disguise.
Billy Manziel.
The swan. Yep. I mean, there's two right there, and that could be one and two.
Wait, was the
bizarre Brown stories?
Was the swan that same weekend or no?
No, the swan was like before he ever played a snap in the NFL.
Yeah, it was after he got drafted.
And what was the big deal about the swan?
He was riding on a swan.
He was passed out. Or it looked like he was passed out.
No, he was drinking. He's drinking the champagne. He was having that. And then.
He's in a fountain.
And then it just got progressively worse. And we kept making progressively worse excuses.
Money phone.
The money phone.
The money phone.
Oh, that was great.
I want to see him in the XFL.
Yeah, what's the holdup here?
I do.
Like, I know Kaepernick is...
Well, they want guys who can play.
Okay,
and maybe,
come on.
And maybe
Johnny
actually throw the ball.
Go to the AAF last year.
All right, can we do an honest appraisal of the Manziel? You're right. And he did the Canadian football
game,
too.
An honest appraisal of the Manziel what?
Okay, I was there at the game when he threw the big touchdown and the whole crowd was chanting Johnny.
But
Johnny,
the Tennessee
Johnny.
In the Tennessee
the
game,
Tennessee game.
Yeah,
yes.
He threw two that game.
How bad was he? We've had a lot of bad quarterbacks. How bad
he wasn't good.
Was Johnny?
He didn't give him.
Was he worse than Kaiser?
No. The problem was with Johnny. He never gave himself a chance to be good. I told you. Mike said it to him. He goes, turns around, there's 15 guys on defense.
Yeah.
That means you're not prepared.
Well, I'll never forget the Buffalo game. Was that his first game?
Yes.
And he's lying down in the end zone.
He came in and relief. Yeah.
He's lying down like he's doing a snow angel after he got either pick sixed or he fumbled the ball.
People were putting the Undertaker over him. It was fantastic.
He does have the single game rushing leader for the Browns, though.
Oh, he does?
I was hoping Kevin Hogan could beat him, and he came like 4 yards short. 216-578-0092. You actually reminded me of something, and I want to do it next because Jason Kipnis says goodbye to Cleveland.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.